Okay, guys, we left off. Take a look at Ostes. So we were talking about the mitzvah of Puruvu, and we were saying that in order to be Mekayim the mitzvah, you have to have a boy and a girl, right? So let's say you have a situation where, God forbid, one or both of the children die before the parent. So we said already that is you're not officially Mekayim the mitzvah. Obviously, it's not a question of whether or not we're upset at you or not upset at you, but the question is really if you are old enough and you're still able to have, if you're young enough, you're still able to have children, is there a mitzvah to try to have more children after that happens? So the question is, let's say you're much older and your children already have children of their own. So now, let's say you had a boy and a girl, and then one of them passed away, or both of them passed away. So, and they have children of their own. So what is the halacha in that case? So this is brought up directly in the Gemara, and Yevamos talks about this, and the Gemara has the famous comment, "V'nei bonim harehim kibonim," that grandchildren are like children. So the Gemara says, "Kitanya hahi lahashlim." This is out of, I'm taking that Gemara out of context, but for our purpose, that's what the Gemara is saying, that you can be mashlim, meaning if you had a boy and a girl, and then your daughter passed away, so then she had a boy or a girl of her own, then that's mashlim, that like you had a boy and a girl. So then you're still in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Peruvu. But let's say they're both not alive anymore, and now they each have children of their own. So the Gemara has the following comment. So he says, right, Abaye says it has to be that your son has a son and your daughter has a daughter. And then Rava says, no, he says, Amale Rava, Loshevis Yitzar. She says, why do you have to say that? She says, it's just Loshevis Yitzar. We're just trying to populate the world. We're trying to make sure there are enough people in the world. And therefore, it doesn't specifically have to be a boy for a boy, a girl for a girl. Just has to be that in the end of the day, they have children. So Tosfos over here has a comment. Tosfos says, "Avogav d'amrinan la'el ein shnei zecharim chashuvim kiben ubas." So even though we've said that, let's say you have two boys, so that's not officially the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to have a boy and a girl. So he says, so if you have two boys, you have 22 boys. So it's still not the official mitzvah of Puruvu. So he says, even though we said that earlier, Hacha sheba mikoach mi shepotarta mipiri v'rivya, pshita dekoy shapir haben v'mokam abbas. So he says, if you had a boy and a girl already, and they're both not alive anymore, and each one had a boy, so then, obviously that works. Because since the boy and the girl worked to fulfill the mitzvah, and even though they're not alive anymore, you wouldn't be in fulfillment of the mitzvah. But if each one has a boy, that's enough. And the Vilna Gaon comments on Tosfos, Hu Adinami, it would be the same thing if they both had girls. It doesn't matter specifically. There's one man Dhamma wants to argue that Tosfos is saying Dafka two boys. But even if you, no matter what you hold in Tosfos, there are other Rishonim that say that if they had a boy, it would be the same if your son had a daughter and your daughter had a daughter, it would be the same thing. And if you have two grandsons or two granddaughters, one from each child, so that's good enough. That's good enough. So that is the opinion of Tosfos. So let's look at the Minchas Chinuch for a second. So he says, "Im hayu shnei banim shnei banos lo kiyem mitzvah." Like we said, you can't have two boys and two girls. It has to be a boy and a girl. "Im hayu lo ben ubas umesu v'himichu banim." They passed away. They left over children. Das harambam kan. So we didn't see the Rambam inside, but the Rambam here in Halacha Hey says the lo yotza rak bihinichu ben ubas. So he says there you have to have a boy and a girl. Afal gav debara labarto ubarta labar. Right? Even if it doesn't have to be like Abaye said that the boy had a boy and the girl had a girl. It could be the boy had a girl and the girl had a boy. Doesn't matter. As long as you are left with a grandson and a granddaughter, one from each, that's good enough. Kev and the zachar and the kev haim yotza. You have a boy and a girl. You have a grandson and a granddaughter. It's good enough. But if you have two boys and two girls, or two grandsons or two granddaughters, but not a boy and a girl, so the Rambam says you're not yotzei the mitzvah. The Das Tosfos Shambi Yivamus, and we just quoted the Tosfos, the Afilu Inichu Shnei Zachar Moshtei Nekevos Yatzah. So you see, the Minchas Chinuch agrees with the Vilna Gaon that it could be two boys or two grandsons or two granddaughters, you're okay. The Davka Shebo Mishnaim, obviously they have to come one from each of the children. It can't be that the son, your son had 50 kids, you know, and your daughter had no kids, or vice versa. It doesn't work. It has to be one from each. Avlam hiniach echad ben ubas vasheni lo hiniach klal lo yatz. And that's straight out of the Gemara. So let me ask you guys a question. Why is that so? What's the whole idea? Just tell me, what does b'nei banim arayim kebanim mean? Grandchildren are like children. So what does that mean? I mean, pretty self-explanatory, right? No, but what do you mean? What do I mean by that? Meaning, you have a mitzvah to have children. So then you have children, and then God forbid something happens and your children aren't alive anymore. But you have grandchildren. So how can anyone say, how can Tosfos say two grandsons is enough? B'nei banim harayim kebanim. Isn't the whole reason that you have, that your yotze, the mitzvah, is because your grandchildren are just like your children? And therefore, so it's like you have two sons or two daughters. So how can you be yotze the mitzvah? The Rama makes sense. You hear what I'm saying? It's a good kasha, no? So once you, if you accept that kasha, then you have to accept the following kasha as well. So even according to the Rambam, wouldn't it be enough if they both came from one or the other? Meaning, let's say you have a son, and your son has a boy and a girl. So you have a grandson and a granddaughter now. And the daughter, Nebuch, doesn't have any children. And they both pass away. So now you have a grandson and a granddaughter. B'nei banim harehim kebanim. So shouldn't that be enough? Why does it have to come from each one? You understand the question? So these are two kashas which have to cause us to reevaluate what this phrase means. B'nei banim harehim kebanim. It's not true. If it was true, as long as you would have two grandchildren, a boy and a girl, it would be good enough. And you certainly wouldn't say it's good if you have two grandsons or two granddaughters. Yeah.
Maybe it's key. Like, it's not like real, like not like the real deal.
So if it's not the real deal, how does it help at all? I mean, you're stuck. You understand? Mm-hmm. You get stuck. On one hand, they have to be like real children, because otherwise, how's that the mitzvah? On the other hand, if they're like real children, how's two grandsons going to be good according to Tosfos? And according to everybody, why isn't it enough if they came from one of your children? Why do they have to come from both?
Maybe according to the Rambam, the daughter's like nothing now. So if you basically were a Micaiah having a girl yourself and she doesn't produce, but if the son had both a daughter and a son, then he would be the son, but you basically don't have a girl anymore.
No, but your son has a boy and a girl.
Right.
Oh.
But you didn't have a girl yourself anymore.
So now, based on what you're saying, reinterpret the phrase, B'nei banim harayim kebanim.
B'nei banim da'odei banim?
What do you mean by that?
Like, if you don't have B'nei banim, you may as well not have had banim.
Okay. That's the reverse way of what, that's the same thing I was going to say, just the backwards way of saying it, so I didn't get it at first. Right? Okay. So I think you guys are right. Meaning, I think everyone is in agreement that what is the idea? That you're not Makai in the mitzvah of Pru Revu if your children don't survive you. If your children are not still alive. Right? So what happens? So your children pass away. You're no longer Makai in the mitzvah. But you have grandchildren. So what are the grandchildren really doing? They're keeping the children alive. You understand? Saying you can think of it, this is not a statement in halacha. It says from emotionally, you can understand, like, listen, I hopefully I'll never know from it. Hopefully none of you will, no one, no person, no human being should ever know from what it means to lose a child, you know? But it's the worst thing in the world, literally, you know? So a small consolation could be, you know, to a way to go on, as you say, yeah, but the children's children are still here. What's the pshat? Why is that a consolation? Because you see them in the children, right? So obviously that's not a statement in halacha, but the emotional idea is also true in halacha. Meaning, what are the children doing? They're serving to keep their parents alive. If they exist, obviously their parents existed, and therefore each grandchild represents the parents. And therefore it's like the parents are still alive as far as you're concerned. So that's really what Tosfos said. Tosfos said, why is it okay if each one has, if you have two boys or two girls? Because they come from the koach of whoever patered you in the first place. Meaning, they came from a boy and a girl. So the grandchild's existence is basically confirming the existence of the children. And so it's ki'ilu on one level, the children are still alive. And therefore, says Tosfos, it doesn't matter what kind of children they have, because in the end of the day, the children who from whom they came are ki'ilu still alive. That's what b'nei banim harayim kibanim means. The Rambam says that might be true, but it has to be more than that. Meaning, in the end of the day, the whole purpose was to have the world be populated, and the best form of that population is a boy and a girl, right? That's the real mitzvah. So in order for yes, he agrees that the grandchildren are keeping the children alive, right? But if in the end of the day you don't have that totsah, you don't have that result of a boy and a girl, so since the children aren't actually here practically, they need to at least have had the same result in the second generation. So therefore, the second generation of a boy and a girl have to exist in order for them to be kept alive in that way. Meaning you have to have, number one, that the children are ki'ilu, they're alive, and number two, on a practical level, there has to be that result of there's a boy and a girl who are in the world because of you. But they both can't come from the same parent. Right? So what's interesting, I mean, no, leave it at that. There's a lot more you could say to elaborate on this idea of the Rambam and Tosfos. But just to leave it at that idea, that clearly you see from out of the Gemara, that the concept of b'nei banim, arei kibanim, doesn't mean that they're your children. It means that they represent your children. They keep your actual children alive. In other words, we think b'nei banim, arei kibanim means my grandchildren are like my children to me. No, your grandchildren are like their parents. B'nei banim, arei kibanim, your grandchildren are like your children. In that sense, not like regarding you, they're like the actual children that you had. That's kind of again, that's like a drush, but it's halacha. In halacha, that's the idea that the b'nei banim keep the children alive, and therefore you still mekayim the mitzvah. The only question between the Rambam and Tosfos is there that additional aspect of the practical halacha? You could say even that Tosfos is saying, at the end of the day, it's mamish like they're being kept alive. And the Rambam is saying, no, it's not like they're being kept alive, but since their result, the result of their existence is there, so then that's good enough for you to be mekayim the mitzvah. In other words, the children don't dafka represent the parent exactly, they represent the result of their parents having existed, but that's not going to be enough unless there's actually a boy and a girl still in the world. Anyway, that's just what I thought to explain that idea a little bit. Okay, let's do Os Yud, and then we're going to skip a little bit to Yud Gimel. Let's just Os Yud. The next couple of pieces are all connected to stuff we said earlier. So Os Yud is in Yeshlo Ben Migoyo Mishivcha Knanis. Af Shenizgayer HaBen O Shenishtachar Lo Yotza. So if he has an affair with a non-Jewish woman, and they have children, so as you know, the children are not Jewish. And even if the children are Megayer, they become Jewish, he's not Yotzi the Mitzvah Peruvu. Why? Because...
When you become a Ger, your family gets cut off.
Ah, so... so when you become a Ger, we say, Ger Shen is Geyer, Kikotan Shenola Dami. But that's not the reason. That's not necessarily the reason. The reason is that when you have an affair with a non-Jewish woman, the Zera is Miyuchas after her, not after you. So that
even if she converts
afterwards, it's her child, not really your child, in the halacha. So even though she's Jewish now, at the time that she had the child wasn't Jewish. So even if the child converts and she converts, so she now has herself a child, but you don't have a child. So hold that thought. Right, that's going to be very important. So it says, "Vizet Pasher." This is obvious. All right, skip the rest now to go to Os Yud Gimel. So now here's the flip side kind of case. V'im goy hayu lo banim b'giyuso v'nizgayer hu v'heim. Let's say he's a regular non-Jewish guy, and he decides to, he goes to Israel, some seminar, he learns all about Judaism, he's very excited, so he decides he wants to become Jewish, the whole family together. The whole family converts together. So then, kiye mitzvahs piri v'rivya. He has fulfilled the mitzvah of Peru Revu. So that's the flip side of what we said before. He was Jewish, his wife wasn't Jewish, so he's not mekayim the mitzvah, even if his wife and child convert. But if he was not Jewish, and his wife wasn't Jewish, and he has non-Jewish children, so if they all convert, so then he is mekayim the mitzvah. Afal gav de gershin is garik katan shenola dami, even though it's, see, this is very interesting. Ah, so we have to figure it out. But for, let's just get the what, and then we'll try to explain it. So he says, even though, this is an amazing thing, you should just know that the halacha is that if you convert with your whole family, according to halacha, you're not officially related to each other anymore. Meaning, technically, a brother and a sister who convert could, midaraisa, we don't allow it, but midaraisa, they could marry each other because it's like they were literally born. They're born a second time. And therefore, they're not officially related to each other. So even though, after you convert, your children aren't officially related to you. Now, the halacha is that they're mechuyav to, in other words, what about, let's say, kibud aveim, right? Kibud aveim. So even if the father, let's say your father is just still not Jewish and you're Jewish, you converted to Judaism. So there's still a chiyuv kibud aveim because the Gemara has a phrase, the Rambam made it famous. It says, we don't want people to say, ba'u mikidusha chamura lekidusha kala. We don't want somebody to say, oh, when he was not Jewish, so everybody knows, right, everybody knows a non-Jew, good non-Jew, respects his non-Jewish father, right? So, and then he becomes Jewish, all of a sudden he doesn't respect his father anymore. So you can't live like that. Technically, he's not really related to him. Yeah, go try to explain that to somebody. He's not gonna buy it. You know, he's like, oh, technically. So if you go like this, it makes it okay, right? No, it's still not okay. You know, so he says, so that's the halacha. You say, bo mi kedusha kala, kedusha chamur, bo le kedusha chamur, le kedusha kala. So he says, oh, when he was not Jewish, he was, of course, he'd never think to marry his sister. What society in the world allows that? Right? North of the Mason-Dixon line. So he says, what society, right? So he says, what society in the world allows that? So he says, but then he becomes Jewish, all of a sudden he can marry his sister. It's ridiculous. What kind of religion is this? So the whole world is going to be laughing at the Jews. So we say it's not okay. You can't do it. Right? So that's the halach. So technically, they're not even related anymore. But since they were related when they weren't Jewish, that's good enough. So in other words, the difference really is, in the case of when he was Jewish and he married a non-Jewish woman and had children with a non-Jewish woman, the kids were never related to him. And then when they become Jewish afterwards, they're still not related to him. Here, he had a non-Jewish family, all his kids are related to him, and then he became Jewish, so they're not related to him anymore. But still, he already fulfilled having children who were related to him while he was still, non-Jewish. So he's okay now. Right, so he says, "Kaven the begiuso zaro miyuchas acharav kiyem." Right, he says, since his children were related to him when he was a guy, and he skips, and now he says, "Vidas kama poskim." Says there are even other poskim mashma da filu lonis gairu abonim kiyem biri v'rivim. So he says, even if his children never converted to Judaism, he still fulfills the mitzvah. So he could fulfill the mitzvah with non-Jewish children because they were his children. The ayin b'rambam v'tur. Right, but Rambam and the Torah pasku dafkam nizgayru abanim gamkin. No, the Rambam and the Torah say no. They have to have converted to Judaism, otherwise it's not okay. Right, and he says obviously they have to. It has to be. You weren't Jewish. You had a non-Jewish wife. If you were not Jewish and you had a Jewish wife, then you're not mekayim the mitzvah because again the children will go after the wife, not after you. Just the reverse, right? Okay, that's the rest of the thing.
We might have discussed this already, but is Peru Revu a mitzvah to non-Jews?
So this is the question, right? So let's hold that thought for one more second. But before we answer that question, so it definitely used to be. How do you know it used to be?
was given to Adam.
Right. Adam Arishon. It says in the Peru Revu Melua starts with Kishua, right? So it's clearly, at the first person, there was no Jews, non-Jews, not like, there was just a, you know, a man and his wife. So they were given the mitzvah, Peru Revu, and again to Noach. Right? And again to Noach. So Noach was a Ben Noach. He wasn't, you know, Jewish. So there was clearly a mitzvah of Peru Revu for the whole world before there was such a thing as a Jew. So the question is, did anything happen to it after that? That it became Dafka for Jews? So before we get to that, what? Oh, that's fair enough. But for starters, let's just go back to what we said something before. We started off by asking the question, if you're 13 years old, you're chayvin all the mitzvos, so why don't we tell all the 13-year-olds in the world to have children? Right? 13 years old, go find yourself a wife and get married, have children. So Rambam says, no, you got to wait till you're older, right? All right, in those days, still old, they already went to work by the time they were adolescents. There was no nowadays, like, you ever wonder why you guys have nothing to do all day? It's because they didn't used to be high school. You went to work. You apprenticed for your father, and that's it. You know, you took on the job. So in those days, you went to work at 13, but still we said, no, you got to wait till you're 17, 18, 20, you know, to get married. You can't get married right away. So why is that? So we said, hold that thought, right? So here is another manifestation of that. The Rambam's idea that the children have to convert to Judaism, that doesn't seem to help you at all with the mitzvah of Peru Revu. Why should that help? The whole reason you're going to fulfill the mitzvah is based on when the children weren't Jewish. It only becomes worse for you when they are Jewish. They're less related to you when everybody converts than they were when you were all non-Jews. So why is making them Jews helping at all? Why does the Rambam and the Torah say, oh, you only fulfill the mitzvah if they convert to Judaism afterwards along with you or separately from you, but at some point they have to convert. Otherwise, you're not mekayim the mitzvah. So the Pashto says these are two of the same ideas that we spoke about before, is that it's not just you're trying to populate the world with Jews. We just want to have genetic Jews. We want to have Jews who are representative of Torah mitzvos. We want to have Jews who are representative of Judaism. So in other words, it's not just about having Zera Miyuchas Acharav. Remember we said, let's say you have a kid who's a Cherish or a Shota, that he's not functioning in society. Again, nowadays, deaf people function perfectly well in society. It's talking about in the times when deaf people didn't function in society. Already in the Rashash, on the Gemara, the Rashash writes, and I forgot where he writes it, I think in Gittin. Rashash writes that we already had, now we have schools for the deaf, you know, where we can teach them, but we don't know what it's like, but apparently, like, back up until a couple of hundred years ago, deaf people just couldn't get around. They couldn't function normally. So they weren't considered to be chayiv in mitzvah. So the Minchas Chinuch says, you're still mekayim peru revu. Why? Because he still has some shaychus to Torah mitzvahs. He still has some shaychus. He still has some relationship. You can't feed him non-kosher. You can't, you know, you, even though he's not going to be doing a lot of mitzvahs on his own, you still can't, he's still considered in the parsha of Torah mitzvahs. So too, you have to have children. So yeah, you have children and they're miyuchas acharecha, but in the end of the day, they're not even Jewish. So it's lovely that, you know, you have nice, I'm sure they're wonderful people, but that doesn't change anything in the sense that they're not, you didn't accomplish one of the main functions of Peru Revu, which is to try to be megadol them, you know, to Torah and mitzvos. So if they convert, so then okay, now they have a relationship to Torah mitzvos. If they didn't convert, so they don't have a relationship to Torah mitzvos. There's no mitzvah for you to try to make them convert. There's no, you want to become Jewish, your children say, we're perfectly happy the way we are. So you say, we don't encourage people to convert. Say, if you're a nice non-Jew, keep being a nice non-Jew. That's it, you know, do good things, right? So that's it. But in the end of the day, we're not interested in them converting, except then you would have to make it your business to get married and have children. But if they don't, if they convert, so now not only do you have Zera that's miyuchas acharecha, but you also have Zera that's miyuchas acharecha that's shayach to Torah and mitzvos. And now you basically have the total package. They're not miyuchas after you to the extent that they're mechuyev in Torah mitzvos because of you, they're because of themselves. I mean, that's, you know, that's a, and I also, obviously, you have to understand the flip side is also true. The flip side is also true, where you I don't think anybody, it's not written in anywhere that that if you have children and you push them away from Torah mitzvahs, you say anything but Torah mitzvahs. I don't want you to ever open up a Sefer Torah. I don't want you to know Shema Yisrael. I don't want you to know anything. So I don't think it doesn't say anywhere in any halacha sefer that you're not makayim the mitzvah peruvu. But it's funny because I heard b'shem Rav Nissen Alpert that I believe he came from communist Russia, and so somebody once said that he just said as an aside when they were learning the sugya in Yevamos, I think. So he said as an aside, I wonder if any of us were mekayim the mitzvah puruvu when we lived in communist Russia, because the mamish, like, they took your children away from you and they wouldn't let them have any religion whatsoever. They were so anti-religion, the government there. They would right away take the kids and not let them be raised in any way, shape, or form Jewish. So I don't know if he meant it seriously. I don't know. You know, this is a third-hand account. So I don't know. But in the end of the day, that seems to be the logic behind the Rambam's opinion that the kids have to convert to Judaism, whereas other poskim will say, why do they have to convert to Judaism? They're already your children. At the time you were not Jewish, they were miuchas after you. Right? Okay. So let's just go a little bit further to Osi Yadalid. V'hine lefima dekaim alon hayulabanav amesu lokiim ha-mitzvah nire ba'alil de mitzvah zu eina kishar mitzvos. So we see the difference between the mitzvah puruvu and other mitzvos from the fact that if the children don't survive, so then you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. You see how different it is. Lulav, matzav, v'domeim, de'ein lehem meshech zman rav tekev she'asa mitzvah yatzah. You eat a kezias of matzah on the Seder night, good, you're done. What, you got to worry 20 minutes later, 20 hours later, etc. So he says, Aval kan eino kein, de habia lo have guf ha-mitzvah, rak hechsher mitzvah. Right, so we spoke about this before. We said there's a delayed kiyum ha-mitzvah. You do the act of trying to have children, but then whether or not you actually fulfilled the mitzvah comes up much, much later. And according to this, Minchas Chinuch, it comes up at the end of your life, when you leave this world, if you had children or grandchildren, then you were Yotzei the mitzvah. But so literally, it's Tali va'omed for, could be for another 100 years. Well, you know, whether
if you have kids and they have kids, then you can stop worrying.
Well, yeah, again, hopefully nothing bad will ever happen to anybody. But you know, crazier things have happened. The Ikar HaMitzvah, he laid us upon him. The mitzvah itself, the Kiyum HaMitzvah, is when the children are born. V'chol rega chal alav achiyav. So the chiyav is upon him at every second. V'meisu lo kiyam mikan ala haba. V'zeh poshut. And if they die, then you're no longer fulfilling the mitzvah. So this is his take. And I said before, I don't know if I'm right or wrong about this. I said, I can't believe he means that the act of trying to have children is only hechsher mitzvah. I think he means it's the maisa HaMitzvah. It is a mitzvah act. But it's the kiyum is delayed. We have this once in a while where you could do the mitzvah here and you could fulfill the mitzvah later. So this is his take. And this goes going back. This is what you said before, right? It explains the idea that how if you convert to Judaism, you can retroactively have fulfilled the mitzvah, right? So the kasha is, and this is what he says in the next long paragraph, but you don't have the page, so I'm just going to speak it out. He quotes the kasha from the Turei Evin, but you could ask this kasha on your own. So he's saying, let's say, for example, you know, I just gave the example of eating matzah, so we'll stick with it, and it's going to serve us well. The whole eating matzah, you'll see. Let's say everybody else is, and we're talking about this in Shir a little while, also about other things, but let's say everybody else is, you know, working hard to prepare for Pesach, and you're like, ah, these guys, they're going crazy. I'm going to eat matzah a week before Pesach, and then I won't have to worry. When the Seder night comes, I could do whatever I want. Everybody else is going to be rushing. Oh, should we eat the matzah? Eat the afikoman, whatever. I'll take care of it a week before, and we're good. So you eat all the matzah in the world a week before Pesach. We yotzei the mitzvah?
No.
Why not?
Because it's not when you eat the matzah.
It's not, and you weren't chayiv. There was no chiyuv in existence in the world at the time. Right? You know, you say everybody else, Super Bowl Sunday, you know, everybody goes crazy, they want to watch the Super Bowl. I'll just watch the Super Bowl a week in advance, it'll be okay. So you turn on the TV, you turn to the right channel, everything, okay, nobody's playing, you know? So it doesn't help. You understand? Doesn't help. You got to do the mitzvah at the right time when you are obligated in the mitzvah. Turi Avin uses a different example. He says, let's say a person is temporarily insane. He quotes it from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Right? He quotes it from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Right? Kafo shade, right? Let's say a shade. What is a shade? A demon force? You know, it means you were insane. Right? He says you were temporarily insane and you ate the matzah while you were dealing with, I don't know, Rabbi Weberman always has a story that they gave his wife too much medicine when they had the first child or something like that. They gave her too much pain meds. So he said that she was like, you know, she was like way out of it, and like he was in charge. So the story is what happens when he's in charge. So what Lamaisa says, he says, let's say at that point it was Leila Seder, and the person who had too much pain medication, and now they're all in a different planet, so they ate matzah. So then, a few hours later, it's still during the time of the mitzvah, they sobered up. You know, are they chayav to eat it again? Like, well, of course they chayav to eat it again. You weren't a bar das when you ate the mitzvah the first time. Now you're a bar das. Right? So too here. You were not Jewish. You did the mitzvah. So what? You weren't chayav in the mitzvah. Right? So if you weren't chayav in the mitzvah at the time you did it, who cares if it's done? Right? So that's the Minchas Chinuch saying, no, but according to my way, it makes perfect sense. My way is, the act of doing the mitzvah, that's not the real kiyum. The kiyum is that you have the children, they exist. So once you convert to Judaism, we're constantly checking on you. You have children? Yes, you have children? Yes, you have children? Yes, you have children? Every 3 seconds, you know, somebody's asking you, not really, but somebody's asking you, you have children? Yeah, sure, okay. So the answer is, the second you convert to Judaism, somebody asks you, you have children? Yeah. Okay, good, you're done. You weren't chayav 2 seconds ago, nobody was asking you, but now they are asking me. Right? And that's why, chas v'shalom, if children die, you're not mekayim the mitzvah. I did it already. Yeah, but now we're asking you again. You have children? No. Oh, so now you're not mekayim.
It's the mitzvah every second, it's not one.
Exactly. He says it's a constant chiyuv / kiyum, so that works both in your favor and it works against you.
That's why you have the grandchildren.
Right, so the grandchildren could be good enough. But the question is it doesn't just hurt, meaning it doesn't just hurt if the kids aren't alive anymore, so now it ruins it for you, right? It also helps that if you weren't Jewish, and then you just converted to Judaism, and you had children, so then you're good. You're covered, because they ask you a new question. You're good, you're covered.
Once you're born Jewish, then
what? If you were born Jewish, there's no real upside, right? No, unless you were temporarily insane when you had the children, and then you became sane, you know, so then it helps. Right? Okay. The kasha is, what about according to everybody else? Right? So just bekitzer, it's getting late. But bekitzer, the main other approach, we spoke about one approach back in the day, last week. We spoke about another approach, which was like, I compared it to the Nimuke Yosef about lighting Shabbos candles, about that everything is mitzuref back to the original Maisa. I'll tell you another approach. There's an approach of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe has in the Tshuvas, and he also has in the Dibros Moshe a different way of looking at Peruvu. He says it's not itachin to say that if you do the act of trying to have children, that's not the mitzvah. Of course, that's the mitzvah. So he says, how does it work? He says that every time you try to have children, that's the mitzvah. You did the mitzvah. It's not under your control. So how can you not control? That's what Ritzvi Pesach Frank says it like that. Ritzvi Pesach Frank says there can't be a mitzvah that you're trying to do that you're not, that the result is not in your control. It must be the act of trying to have children is the mitzvah. But you don't control whether or not you succeed. So that's not the mitzvah. Right? So then how can you say if you don't have a boy and a girl, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah? So Rav Moshe says, no. The mitzvah is, you should always try to have children. But once you have a boy and a girl, it's a p'tur. It's a p'tur. You're p'tur from having any more children. But really, the mitzvah is, every time you do the act to try to have children, then you're doing the mitzvah. And once you have a boy and a girl, there's a p'tur. And that explains also why, that the more children you have, the more you mekayim the mitzvah. Right? Also, because of Shevis, obviously, but I'm saying, but the more children you have, the more, because you have a p'tur doesn't mean that it's not another mitzvah, right? So I thought this is very similar, going back to what I said, eating matzah will serve us well. The Rambam has a similar lashon in the mitzvah of achilas matzah, right? The Rambam has a lashon, basically says you're chayiv to eat one kezias of matzah on the Seder night. I'm sorry, excuse me, take it back. So the Rambam says you're chayiv to eat matzah on the Seder night. And then he says, umisha ochal kezias yotza. And when you ate kezias, you're yotze. So some achronim are medayik in the Rambam. All the matzah you eat on the Seder night is a mitzvah, but you don't have to eat more than a kezias. It's the same idea, right? Aye, so why is that so? Because the Torah says, Bo'erev tochlu matzos. It says you should eat matzah. So the standard approach is, yeah, whenever it says achila, it means one kezias. But the Rambam is saying, no, there's a mitzvah to eat matzah all night. We're not going to be mechayiv you to eat more than a kezias. So once you eat a kezias, it's no longer a chiv. But if you eat more matzahs, you know, nach a kiyum, it's add to the kiyum. So that's the idea over here. So that's how Rav Moshe wants to learn. That's how Rav Moshe wants to learn the mitzvah of Peruvu also. The mitzvah of Peruvu is every time you do the maisa, you are doing the mitzvah. And then when you have the children, that's when you're potter. So now we have to ask ourselves a question. How can a gerish and his geyer ever be potter from his from what he did in his previous non-Jewish life? He converts. It's a new chiyuv. Every act that he did was an act that was done b'ptur. You hear? So it's very hard. It's a very hard question to answer. We'll basically leave it over for next time. But I'll just tell you one thing. There's a Me'iri on the whole sugya there of the Gershon Isgayer. The Me'iri says, you see from here that a Ben Noach is chayiv in Peruvu. Because otherwise the whole thing makes no sense. If he was potter from Peruvu, so who cares if he tried to have children if he had children when he wasn't? That was optional. You know, it was optional. So he did an optional thing, that's lovely, but now he's actually chayiv. So he has to do it again. Right, so the Miri says, you see clearly, a Ben Noach is chayiv in Peruvu. The problem is the Gemara in Sanhedrin says pretty much black and white that that's not true. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, B'nai Noach used to be chayiv in Peruvu. They were trying to figure out, are B'nai Noach still chayiv in Peruvu? So the rule is, all the mitzvahs that the B'nai Noach were chayiv in before we got the Torah, if they're repeated afterwards, so they're still chayiv in it. Right? But if they're not repeated afterwards, then they're no longer obligated in it. So it seems like the conclusion of the Gemara is that B'nai Noach are not chayiv in Peruvu anymore. So it's optional. They want to have children? Good. If you don't want children, okay. Right? So then how do we explain the fact, you know, basically this idea of the Gersh and his Gersh? So we'll try to work on it a little bit more, Bezra Hashem, next time.
All right. See you all.